This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Tough as Nails is back, episode number 7, as we are ready to go to work to talk about our night at the Carpenters Union. And we're ready to raise the roof here on another episode of Tough as Nails. Back with us, of course, the great Jessica Lees. Jess, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Ready to talk some Carpenters. I feel like we've only just begun to get into what's going on here.
Well done. Well done. Okay. All right. And of course, back with us, of course, give it up for Mike Bloom.
Why do birds suddenly appear every time you're near? It's because I bump my head on the sprinkler trying to put a tile in. I fell off the ladder.
Yes. We have a lot to talk about here today as the teams went toe-to-toe trying to build their scaffolding, put up the drop ceiling, and then ultimately we had a showdown between the two people who had not been in the OT yet, as Laura had to deal with a fear that many great Tough as Nails competitors have dealt with before, the fear of heights. Just ask Murph. It's no joke.
So now we're what, like a 50% success rate for Tough as Nails contestants facing their fear of heights?
Mm-hmm. Look, that Murph overcame it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a problem anymore.
Yeah. Right, Murph?
I still think it's a bit of a problem for Murph. I don't think Murph's going to go in a hot air balloon anytime.
Yeah, Murph's not... Like, this is the reason we haven't seen Danny and Murph on the Amazing Race.
Mike, we're not allowed to talk about hot air balloons anymore these days. Kind of a hot button issue, okay?
Exactly. Maybe Murph's more in the territory of those that are viewing those balloons.
Look, well, prove he wasn't on that balloon.
Mm-hmm.
I would just imagine, I was going to say, like, oh, I want to imagine Murph on a roller coaster, but I have a feeling the man just isn't made for roller coasters for many reasons. Just imagine him going,
I'm having so much fun on this roller coaster.
Yeah.
Wow, what a loop to loop.
Yeah, we've seen so many people brought back from season 3, as we've seen Hanger, the latest of the season 3 contestants that are rolled out. But we have nary seen anybody from season 1 or season 2 of Tough as Nails so far this season.
The thing that I find really funny, Rob, is you didn't watch any of season 3.
Mm-hmm.
So for all you know, season three never happened. And no, they're just gaslighting
me. Maybe they're gaslighting me, but they've been so many huge personalities here of America's favorite carpenter, America's favorite electrician.
I will say, I honestly did watch season three.
Mm-hmm.
But the people that they have been bringing back are not the people I remember mm-hmm. from season three.
Oh, come on. It's Hanger. He has the catchphrase that we can all say together. And I'm definitely not referring to my notes. Yeah. He don't sit down, lay down, or back down.
I don't think that was the right order.
Yeah, you got to do it again.
Is that the outwit, outplay, outlast of Hanger?
Yep.
See, for next season, we're going to raise some money for charity, and then Mike Bloom is going to have to get a tough as nails tattoo.
Oh,
and I think we're leading toward Hanger's catchphrase. Mm-hmm. If we can get it in the right order.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So, we're going to talk about it all as, we're only three episodes away from the finale of Tough as Nails, down to just six people left in the individual competition. And, we'll talk it all through. And so, fun times at the carpentry. What would you call it? The carpenter headquarters? The carpenter union
training center. I don't think the phrase is fun at the carpenter's union training center has ever been said in sincerity until this episode of Tough as Nails in anyone's lifetime.
I don't know. They seem to really love their jobs.
Yeah,
I don't know. I hate this.
Yeah, they've got like a whole training facility here for the carpenters. Are those kind of cool?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say that's fun. I don't know how much. Do you think they're building a lot of scaffolding? I guess Sanithia said that she built scaffolding as part of her own training. Do you think this is like something mandatory?
Probably. I mean, you think Hanger isn't loving putting up scaffolding?
I don't think Hanger isn't not loving anything in life. This man is like the energy level of a minor league baseball game in the form of a man. I adore him.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I kind of wish he was my shop teacher.
Yeah, now he's teaching wood shop. So
yeah. Like, where was this guy in my middle school? I would have loved to have a guy instead of like the you know, kind of very mild-mannered man who allowed me to cut my fingernail to the bone on a belt sander when I was in seventh grade.
Traditionally, yeah, isn't the woodshop teacher like notoriously like the most like dour and like unhappy potentially we don't want to even speculate on what substances having in the entire faculty.
Well, it depends on what he self-medicates with, because I think your average shop teacher is either like completely, completely burned out from having to save children from maiming themselves on a daily basis, or they just DGAF.
Mm-hmm.
Should they invest in a tough as nails school staffed entirely by alumni of the show?
Yeah. A tough as nails trade school.
Yeah. You can have
tough as nails Votech. I would sign me up.
Quincy's teaching, automotive repair.
Yeah. Is this the long game for Phil of that? Open up the tough as nails trade school. I mean, that we're going to like make, getting into the trade. I mean, it's basically the mission statement of the show.
Yeah. Tough as nails trade school. It could be called Tance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so maybe that's, you know, we do enough seasons, get all of the faculties, all the alumni from the show, starting with Hanger, you know?
I mean, we're trying to get people into the trades. It's not the worst idea.
Yeah, this is pretty good. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the battle between the Savage Crew and the Dirty Hands. Jake was still riding high from last week, Jess, when George put him and Alima into the
Tried to eliminate him.
Eliminate him, yeah. Couldn't do it.
Nope, he's still with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's still going. Yeah. And so, all right, we pull into the Carpenters Union Trading Center. This is where Sergio got the skills to pay the bills, Mike.
Well, the bill collectors came back this week and said the check bounced. Maybe you should look into alternate sources. I mean, the bottom line for me this episode was this team challenge. And I have to turn to the expert of the term, Jess, is this like one of the biggest five holes to ever exist in competitive reality television?
You know, it wasn't a good look. Mm-hmm. They had how many carpenters? Like, the team is literally half carpenter.
Well, did either of you get like a clear explanation of like, why did Dirty Hands lose?
I don't know. I think it's Savage Crew just made more mistakes, but did it faster. And I guess this thing where they were slightly off, where they had to jam the crossbars in, was enough for them to lose by about 5 seconds.
I don't know. It was like Dirty Hands was winning and then they weren't.
I mean, that's podcast over.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I missed something.
It's always hard to break down. And I always go back and I watch these a couple of times to try to suss this out, because that's essentially what the podcast is. But I think it really did just come down to they made a bad mistake that they couldn't quite come back from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the issue was all the way down to that first step, right? Mm-hmm. Where they are lining up these posts at the very bottom. And though they did pass the string test or whatever, the thumbs up from Hanger, it seems like things were slightly misaligned, and slight misalignments at the bottom means large misalignments at the top, so that they couldn't get the crossbars in on the section. Whereas Savage Crew took a longer time getting things set up on the bottom, but it seems like once they did, they had little to no problems outside of Laura having to briefly conquer her fear to Serge, not Sergio, pass Dirty Hands and take the win here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, this task and the next task, like, just an executive functioning nightmare, because it's like you have to do this thing in order for this thing to happen. And then if this thing is not correct, you have to go back and do it again and do it this way. And it is not something I can really cast aspersions on, because everybody did miles better than I would.
Mm-hmm. We got in the first task where we had the team building, the scaffolding. We got the introduction of Laura has a fear of heights. And Mike, this would be Chekhov's phobia.
I mean, very much so. And I do wonder, you know, these contestants, I would imagine, have to submit any sort of, maybe not phobias, this isn't like Amazing Race Canada season 4 days, but like they're doing psychological evaluation. They would probably know. Hell, Phil asked if everyone had a fear of something, and basically everyone except Alima does. So I do wonder if this is a skosh of, you know, Phil putting on his good TV helmet for a second and being like, you know what? Laura, no matter what, no matter if she's eliminated or not, has to compete in this challenge. We know at least 1/3 of this episode is going to be her facing her fear of heights.
I don't know that I love the way Phil was approaching this situation.
Mm. How so?
It was a little bit less, this person is facing their greatest fear, and a little bit more, you have to do this, and nobody is going home tonight until you get it done.
Mm-hmm.
He was very stern with her.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know that she has a fear of heights, but I mean, the second level of the scaffolding was, how high would you say they were off the ground?
6 feet?
Yeah, it's probably like 6 to 8 feet.
Yeah, it didn't seem like that was easy for me to say. That's not my bugaboo. Fear of heights. It's not like that they had to like work with clowns. And it's like that would maybe
only imagine. All right, dolls, today you're going to the circus.
Yeah, I'd be in the fetal position for sure. And so the challenge that she actually lost at didn't really, you had to hang the ceiling, but it wasn't so much of a heights thing, was the reason that she ultimately, had to go into the overtime. But I did think the show did a really good job of trying to depict what it was like for Laura.
Yeah. I think
if I was Laura, yeah, I would be afraid of being shown in slow motion repeatedly, because I feel like every shot of Laura, she was like, they slowed down the camera every time it landed on her, mm-hmm, in order to increase the drama. And at one point, I think the first time they did this, it stuck out because there wasn't any drama yet.
No,
it was just like, here's Laura, and she's moving very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was probably maybe to your point, Rob, to simulate a bit of like the vertigo aspect of it. I think it's less so even about the height and more so like the instability of being up high where you don't have the concrete earth beneath you. Your legs tend to shake a little bit. And so maybe that physical manifestation was more so the issue. Definitely was obviously with the ladder, which was by far the highest that she had to go. But yeah, I mean, I would say I actually think the fear of heights was mentioned last week, if I recall correctly, during the team challenge there, because that was when, right, she didn't want to get up on the ladder to shrink wrap the house. And so that was like the first little seed. Maybe then that Phil was like, ooh, methinks I shall hatch a plan. Change of plans, folks. Tomorrow we're going to the Carpentry Trade Guild. I've got a thing up my sleeve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and we're joking, but like, there's no way they're changing challenges around to try to like create these situations.
No.
Nobody knows better than the three of us how much work and advanced planning goes into every mm-hmm. tough as nails challenge.
Right. I mean, these things are figured out way ahead of time. And so I have to imagine like they didn't think that this was going to be a thing and certainly couldn't planned an overtime that was going to really be able to, force Laura to face her fears in that challenge.
They may not have thought it was going to be a thing, but they were kind of secretly in their deepest, darkest soul, hoping it would be mm-hmm. a thing.
Yeah,
because
every the time
they
TV.
Build one. Yeah. Every time they build something like this, they are hoping somebody is afraid of heights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this was not even close to like the actual task that Murph had to face his fear of heights of climbing the telephone pole back in season one.
Yeah, that one was extra. I think that'd give the best of us vertigo.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So we had a comment from Hanger about how, Phil, have all the challenges this season been this close? Jess, do you think that this is the season of Tough as Nails that has been the most back and forth between the two teams?
I think we have no way of knowing that.
Hmm.
I think the show wants us to believe that the challenges are always close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we never see a team just like running roughshod over the other team because this is Tough as Nails. This is not what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this one does seem closer than normal, though. Going all the way back to the very first team challenge where they were like building the outdoor pagoda and like it came down to Dirty Hands forgetting the number tile and Savage Crew wins. So I would imagine there's at least a little bit of authenticity here where it actually does seem to be fairly neck and neck. Hell, if Savage Crew lost, I still would have given up to them for like, yeah, you were facing up against a team, half of which were doing this in their daily lives, and you still almost won. That should be like a moral victory. But they get the literal victory here and are able to really snatch victory from the hands of Dirty Hands, who probably thought they had this in the bag from the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a sense of who the MVP was for Savage Crew in winning this challenge?
It was hard to tell. It felt like it was a genuine team effort. You do see, we do see a couple of moments I think are interesting. We see Renee in particular is doing a lot of really helpful work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of who else we saw.
I don't know if it's been determined yet if Jake's leadership style worked.
Yeah, he's loud.
I mean, it didn't not work. So I guess it happened there. But the only thing I really took from Jake's leadership was this one time where he was just like very outright honest and said how much of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, he said it was a pain in the ass. So I don't know. They got it done.
He's not holding anything back. And then I think we also heard that Laura was doing a good job of getting things lined up in a way that was helpful for the team.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. This didn't seem like the kind of task where you live and die by your leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the tasks, you know, you have the crew boss and the crew boss making all of the decisions of who does what where has a really big impact on it. I didn't get that impression this time.
Okay. Mike, what's the update on the score here of Savage Crew versus Dirty Hands?
Well, as much of a nail biter as it is, one set of nails has grown a bit longer than the other one. Savage Crew has taken the lead back 4-3. And we know the The first team to five wins the $60,000 grand prize. So theoretically, this could all get wrapped up like a nice shrink-wrapped home next week if Savage Crew is able to win the team challenge.
Mm-hmm. And if that so happens, where they wrap it up in episode number 8, how will they use that time? Do they do another team competition episode 9?
Yeah, you can still win money in the team competitions. Mm-hmm. So
yes, to give a bit of the goose away on your beloved season 3, Rob, that is what happened. The team challenge was declared early, where Dirty Hands had already won 5 and they still ran the last competition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And for Dirty Hands, Jess, you mentioned how it was a 5-hole. The defeats are starting to mount up, especially for Beth, who has also lost individual challenges now, 4 in a row.
Yeah, I thought Beth had a really interesting tactic in the damn van.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's saying, I don't think we should be patting each other on the back and saying it's okay that we lost anymore. I need us to not be okay with losing so that we can actually win something. And I think for Dirty Hands in particular, it's especially galling because they are, you know, two-thirds of them are out of the competition at this point.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I feel like that Tough as Nails is a show that really does take a lot of pride in the moral victories. And it isn't necessarily about the winning or losing. But here for, you know, Beth specifically and Dirty Hands says like, hey, we just these moral victories is not enough. We got to actually get some W's here.
And I kind of like it.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy the fact that last week when we got like a bit of strategy with George, hell, I loved this week in the individual competition when Jake's like, I'm going to purposely put these tiles in, not for my own performance necessarily, but to maybe like rattle the other team members.
Rattle their dags.
Yeah, exactly. I like the fact that we're not completely getting away from like the feel good spirit that the show is at its core. But at the same time, it doesn't feel like it's that all the time, which is nice. It doesn't feel completely schmaltzy, completely like, oh, it's never going to veer into some of the stuff that we are really captivated by in other types of reality competition shows. We talked about this last week that things I think have evolved to a certain state, or at least are beginning to, where like people are kind of explicitly strategic. And here, yeah, we do have something where Beth's like, maybe we do need some tough love. As much as we love each other and as close as things are, like, I don't know, maybe we should stop commending ourselves for doing a good job and not winning when we don't win.
Yeah, and this is also, not to jump too far ahead here, but when Jake starts talking about playing head games with the other contestants, mm-hmm. I was like, this is also very anti-Tough as Nails. We're really kind of having opposite day here.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, do you feel like, is this the season that changes the tenor of Tough as Nails?
God, I hope not.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, there's season 4 of Survivor very much did in terms of moves that have been made. So, yeah, we could see that maybe a young, you know, person watching at home will then come on to season 6 using the gameplay from season 4 and reinvent the game some more.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me that Jake is the Boston Rob of Tough as Nails.
Another construction worker.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
it's true.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's talk about the individual part of this week's show, okay? So it's individual day, driving in, okay? Laura mentions how she's only one of only 7 left in the individual competition. Little did she know she would be the next person to be out. And so you're in Hanger's house again today. You're going to be putting in this ceiling. Again, we highlighted only Laura and Laren haven't been to the OT as they are both going to, again, foreshadowing.
I mean, they probably are now cursing Phil Kogan for jinxing them before the competition even started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're also, I mean, I think this is cause and effect here, but we also, Laura and Laren are the two players that we have seen the least of up to this point. Like, we really know the least about them. They don't really pop on screen until this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Laren's still big question mark there.
Yeah, at least Laura got to have a fear of heights.
Yeah, yeah, Laren, what are you afraid of?
Mm-hmm. We'll find out next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So
he's afraid of garbage. That's what we're gonna find out next week.
I hate trash. I'm OCD. Mm-hmm. This is my nightmare.
Okay. So they're going to build your scaffolding, hang your drop ceiling. You got to leave room for the fire extinguisher. You got to also leave room for the little HVAC vent hanger.
Yeah, Rob, I know that your house was constructed. I'm assuming you did a similar thing in constructing the studio, considering this is acoustic, mm-hmm. I believe, tiles that they were putting in.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't do a drop ceiling in here. I wasn't given that option. Just have a normal ceiling. And the construction workers did not ask for my help at any point.
But did they dance when you asked them to get down?
No. I don't know. I got the sense that they did lay down a lot based on how long things took. They seemed to also sit down and it seemed that they often backed down anytime there was any sort of like interruption in the supply chain. So that they.
Well, at least we know they didn't put the tiles up in the wrong order and have to go back and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They actually did put the tiles up in the kitchen the wrong way and had to take them down and do that again. But that's another story. That's for another
day.
What
are we learning from this? It's okay to rent for the rest of your life.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, it was very hard to find workers to do work in 2020.
Well, so
maybe we can get that trade school started sooner than later.
I know three that you could have hired.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Tough as Nails has a lot of affection for the three of us.
Yes.
Maybe like us talking up their show in return, we can bring the cast of Tough as Nails and they can build houses for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can fix all the things that the workers did wrong in your house first.
That would
Rob.
Be great. That'd be great. Honestly, like getting one of those like pre-made like shipping containers, like wouldn't have been so bad.
Even if the shrink wrap job was subpar.
That's fine. I don't care about the shrink wrap. You throw that all out. Okay. All right. So work on the scaffolding, and then Hanger is going to come in. And Hanger is going to judge not just your tiles, but also your workspace, Jess. You better be clean.
I mean, that's kind of part and parcel with every one of these challenges.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, keep a clean workspace.
Yeah, that was what we saw with the squid, right? It was like, Sergio, that's squid. That's no good. It can't show up on grocery stores. You have to clean it up before you can proceed further. Like, they really are instituting the national park rule, right? Of like, this work site should be cleaner than when we started the challenge.
Well, look, these venues are doing them a favor by letting them film there.
Mm-hmm.
The least you can do is
you gotta clean
not
up.
Mess it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we have, like, as a David Bloomberg-esque rule book for Tough as Nails in terms of, like, what's the right strategy? Like, should you be cleaning up as you go or just pull an Ellery and just make a big mess?
I mean, I think Phil says it best. It really depends on what your background is. Like, what are you typically doing in your job? That's probably how you're going to approach whatever job you're given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think we're learning from Tough as Nails. I think almost always the rule is if there's a lot of really easy work that you can do very quickly and some very finessing work that is more complicated, like get the complicated stuff out of the way and then knock right. out the easy stuff.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Jess, that mm-hmm. I feel like that is part of the philosophy of Tough as Nails. And I feel like that in a lot of like the productivity stuff that I've read over the years, like there's a famous book about, you know, Eat a Frog, I think is the name of it. And if you have to eat a frog every single day, make that the first thing that you do. Because everything else you do by comparison is going to be easier once you eat the frog. If you say, hey, I'm going to like put the eating the frog as far into my day as possible, that's going to be a much harder day for you than if you were to just wake up in the morning, eat the frog first thing.
I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Is this a live frog?
I don't know if it's live or not. It's a book by Brian Tracy, Eat That Frog, 21 Great Ways to Stop Procrastination.
Oh yeah, I recognize him from his mugshot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was he charged with animal cruelty?
Yeah, that psychopath who wrote about eating frogs every day.
Look, I've eaten frog.
Yeah.
That's not an uncommon thing to eat. I don't know why he's so upset about it. There's a lot of worse things in my life that I've eaten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like call it eat a water chestnut and then we'll talk.
Oh, water chestnuts hard to eat?
They're the worst.
Oh my God.
That's like your maggot cheese. That's your fear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my maggot cheese.
But I do feel like that this comes up a lot on Tough as Nails of, you know, okay, do you do the simple thing first or do the hard part first? And, you know, always, you know, do the hard part first.
To a certain extent, though, because we see here with Laren, and we've seen it before with someone like Sergio at the last episode when he got eliminated, like some people do take the strategy of like, okay, let me get the complicated stuff done first and work at like a moderate pace rather than trying to blitz through, gas myself out. But we have seen sometimes that doesn't work. Yes, there might be Laren's gallant who is sitting there precisely cutting the tiles all nice before he ends up putting them in, and Goofus in Ellery who is just like throwing things around and putting tiles up. Goofus is the victor in this case. Goofus finishes second.
That's just in terms of like clean workspace, that Ellery did say that, okay, I had a cousin that hung tile and he said that the trick was do the perimeter first. So, Ellery did have the strategy of like doing the harder part, which was like the, perimeter first. I'm not sure if, Laren would like, I know he was cut everything first, but I'm not sure, where he started putting in his tiles.
Yeah, and he started, they showed one of those progress bars, like how far everybody was along.
Oh, did you see that, by the way, the typo that was on it?
What was the typo?
There was a typo.
Yes, it said Jack instead of Jake.
Oh, good catch, Mike.
Sorry, well, I didn't want to issue a correction next week on behalf of Phil and Louise Kogan. But yeah, I noticed that. I was like, wait, is there a Jack in this competition I wasn't aware of? I know Laren works with Jacks, but.
I mean, granted, Mike, we saw a screener. We didn't watch it live. In fact, it's airing as we are speaking, I believe. So they might have fixed it in post. Who knows?
Probably fixed. Yeah.
But anyway, you were saying about the progress report.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this was an error. Like they showed some people were like 3/4 of the way done and Laren's space was completely blank.
He was cutting.
So I don't know if cutting was the thing that I feel like at a certain point you are going to be done cutting. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like he was maybe being a little bit too careful there.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, it seemed like when people like George and Mister were getting checks of like, oh, this isn't right. I thought, okay, this is going to set them back. But no, it seemed pretty easy for a lot of them to just say, oh, I have to fix this and put a new tile in. Bing, bang, boom. I'm already done. I'm past so many people already.
Yeah. These tiles are pretty forgiving. If you like, you screw one up, you don't have to go back and do the whole thing again. There were some interesting things we picked up, though, and one of which Hanger points out that with the tiles that have a thing cut out in them, you need to put those up before you put up the other tiles around it, because then you can't reach in and like, you know, move it into place.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I think a couple of people realized a little bit too late in the game.
Mm-hmm. Laura also was somebody who was pre-cutting her tiles like Laren. And she also, her problem was that she did not have her cuts done correctly, where she had to go back and cut like an additional half inch off of each of the tiles because that she didn't account for like where the metal was holding the tiles in place.
Right, that metal is essentially like a quarter of an inch in. And mm-hmm. so essentially you have to cut a quarter of an inch off. And that sucks. It's because, again, she made, like Laren, the entire thing of, okay, I'm going to pre-cut every single thing so I can just place it in. Well, if you're wrong for every single tile, then you have to go back and do it. So I think unlike the team challenge, you've got a very big sense as to why the two people who lost did the way that they did. And also why the people that won did the way that they did. Again, say what you want to about, you know, Ellery having a tough time putting the scaffolding together, but he knew his way around this. And George continues to be George. He had his rare misstep last week, but otherwise this dude has just been flying through the competition. And this week was no different.
Well, George is so up and down. You know, he had like the down challenge last week. You know, he had the ups of that he had the advantage. And then got hoisted by his own petard and then ended up in the OT.
Don't worry, Laura. You're in a 5-point petard while you're up on the ladder. You won't fall.
Yeah. And then touched bottom. Then also was one of the carpenters who thought that he had basically been like handed like an easy win. Didn't get that. But then like, okay, oh, this is redemption. Ends up acing it and winning first place in the individual challenge.
And this is, I believe, his third right now. So again, 3 out of 7, he's doing a pretty dang good job. I do agree that obviously he bounced back from last week, but considering that everyone has now been in overtime, I think comparatively, I would still call him the front runner just based on from an individual perspective, how good he has been doing so far.
Yeah. Can we highlight the people that are left in the individual challenge? Of course, there's George who won. There is Alima who's still in it. Mister who had a both Alima had a really strong effort. Mister also was right there for winning the challenge this week.
Yeah, Mister had a good showing this week.
Mm-hmm. Mister, who is a little bit more like just going for speed. I feel like he's the guy who's just like, okay, I'm just going to try to do this like as fast as I can. He's not really often going for precision with the way he attacks things. He's just like looking for whatever's the fastest way that he can do the task. It has usually worked well for Mister. Ellery is a little bit of a dark horse, but is still in there in the individual portion of the competition. Ultimately, he had the messiest workspace, Jess, and Phil seems to think that firefighters have very messy work areas because they're just worried about coming in and putting out the fire.
Well, I mean, that's what you do when you're fighting a fire. You're like smashing your way through things. You're kicking things over. You're just trying to get in and out as quick as possible. Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's safe to say firefighters have the messiest workspace because it is entirely on fire at all times. That's their workspace.
Yeah. I mean, but they're not exactly like the hose is not cleaning it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The hose is, if anything, making it messier.
You know what? I can put out the fire, but this window really needs a washing. If I'm just going to do an old 1-2-er with the hose,
I'll get this car, too, while I'm at it.
Mike, what'd you think about Ellery's makeshift workstation cleanup of using the tile?
I adored it. I love it. Ellery is, you know, it's tough because he hasn't won any challenges left. I believe he's the only person left of the... Oh, Mister hasn't won any individual challenges either. But, you know, Ellery goes from being in the first overtime to like doing pretty well here. He's going to place in the top two, I believe, for the third week in a row here. So he's been doing like consistently well. And I think, again, it speaks to what we spoke about with Murph, right? Which is like that military discipline, that idea that even when you are out of your comfort zone to just like keep your progress looking forward, maybe not at your workspace, but just focusing on the task at hand and trying the best that you can. And like we've spoken about with Mister, his unique style has kept him in the competition to this point. I was happily surprised to see him in the top two, mostly because as they talk about, like, this was a moral victory for Dirty Hands, a literal victory for George, but a moral victory considering that for the first time, I think ever, maybe, that a Dirty Hands person will not be in the bottom two and will not be going to overtime.
Mm-hmm. Okay. For the first time in forever for Dirty Hands.
Okay. Yeah, and Laura was frozen up on that ladder later.
Well, he's Mr. Freeze. Yeah. Okay. And then Jake is still in the individual competition.
Yep.
Not Jack.
I mean, I guess he got in everybody's heads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
I love it. I love Jake's energy that he's bringing because, again, it is so different. And again, I still have no clue whether or not it's actually working. I guess it's working for him. Like, he won one of these competitions. He won two, actually. He's won two challenges. He got his way out of overtime when his back was against the wall, like we saw last week. They really highlighted, like, his very unique communication style. And I like him as sort of an indicator of how everyone has different ways of working. And it's less so about, like, chastising those for working in the way that they do and more so about, like, as a team leader, trying to incorporate that into your own work style to accommodate for that rather than disparage it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Laren, that he ultimately is going to come through the OT and he will go ahead and still be part of the individual competition coming up next week. But Laren and Laura are going to face off in the OT. And this was, you know, definitely an interesting battle, really highlighted by Laura's concern about her fear of heights. Just was this great drama to see Laura battle her inner demons?
Well, again, it was a little hard to watch. And, you know, we are no strangers to watching people confront their fears, especially their fears of heights. Mm-hmm. I feel like we see this happen 3 or 4 times per Amazing Race season.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't get easier to watch, but it was interesting. I think I called out Phil a little bit earlier in this podcast for being a little stern with her and like kind of telling her to rub some dirt on it and keep going. I feel like he's probably responding to what she individually needed in that moment. Like, some people need that kind of pep talk. Other people need to be coddled a little bit. I certainly like coddle the hell out of me in that situation.
Yeah. And despite what Beth had to say about no moral victories anymore, Mike, that it was seemingly a moral victory for Laura as she fell very far behind Laren. And the only way to catch up was to jump down. And, you know, Laura, she flew.
Absolutely.
Mike, I got to make a reference. And I know you're going to understand this reference.
Go ahead.
The Bluey episode with the obstacle course.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Got to shave some time off.
Yep.
You gotta cut some corners. Mm-hmm. But Laren was a bandit at the end, just snatching Laura and throwing her behind him. It was, like you said, a bit of like a, hey, and she talks about this as she clocks out, right? Like, hey, I didn't win at the end of the day, but like, hey, I was able to conquer my fear of heights, or at least, I don't know, brush up against it. That's pretty good. The challenge itself seemed one of those things that was simple at the outset, but incredibly complicated, especially as the outline, as you actually had to climb with the pieces, like you having to climb with your dominant hand, hold and nail with your dominant hand, then maybe hold on to parts of it with your dominant hand. Like, it was giving one particular side a workout, and leave it to Laren to, you know, be able to find the way to not put that much strain on it. And I will say, for a season that has had a lot of neck and neck finishes, it was unfortunately a bit of a blowout.
A little bit of a blowout in the OT.
I'm not sure how many rungs she was behind by the time Laren got all 15 in, but it was considerably ahead.
Okay. And so Laura ultimately punches out, leaving Alima as the only woman who is still alive in the individual competition against 5 men. So if there's going to be our second tough as nails woman winner, Alima is going to have to run the table here.
I'm going to at least need her to make the finals at this point.
I think she, well, do you mean final, like the final three? Like,
yes.
Run through the brutal obstacle course. There's a chance. I think she'll make the finale, the final, like the final four. I think she'll make it to that final elimination. Otherwise, yeah. I'm not sure.
Let's just compare her to the field because I think she actually has a pretty good shot there because I think that of the final six, with all due respect to Ellery, I feel like that he's on the brink of going into. I mean, we saw Laren ultimately, you know, could be very vulnerable for an elimination as well. Jake has been, you know, hot and cold. You know, and you know, we've seen George, you know, be up and down. Mister, I think, is a real competitor too. But Alima, I think, has been one of the standouts of this final six.
Yeah, she's been top three in a lot of these challenges.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, she's got a shot at it.
I mean, they all do. That's the thing about this cast is now everyone has been into overtime. Everyone in this cast now has been into overtime at least once. And so we've talked about this the past few weeks, but I think this really does show how much of like an even spread it is. And this season, I feel like more than ever has this any given Sunday feel of,
any
yeah,
given
you can
Wednesday.
Walk in there. Yeah. And it might
Shout
just not
Simmons.
Be. Yeah. It might just not be your day. And then you're going to find yourself in the bottom and you may find yourself going home. We saw that happen with Laura. She was like incredibly competent and stable the entire season, runs into a day where she has to face her fear of heights and then gets eliminated almost because of it. And it just goes to show how maybe someone like Alima, like you said, these people like Jake, like Laren, like Ellery, like Mr., like George, even who have all had good days and bad days, might run into a bad day and get eliminated and put her in the final. There's also a chance Alima herself could have a bad day. She is definitely getting the most emotional content. Mm-hmm. I think that is what I'm really fixating on, is that, like, you know, part of it is because she does have this incredibly tragic story about her brother's loss and the fact that this was the anniversary of it and the fact that she's a single mom. But I do feel like out of even all 12 competitors, I feel like we know the most about her personal life.
Yeah.
She's got the PSB.
Mm-hmm. Personal story bump for sure. Okay. Where are the contestants headed next?
I don't know, an alley?
A vacant lot?
That's what it looks like. One of the tasks is they have to like clean up, you know, a bunch of debris from some sort of area. I think another challenge.
Not good for Ellery.
Yeah, except, or this could be the best thing for him. He's mm-hmm. like, I brush stuff aside with a tile. You know what I can do? I can turn anything into a broom. I think I saw something with like them. Also, I don't know, cleaning up a garden or something for the team challenge. I wasn't entirely sure. But Phil said, right, his clue was it's a little cleanup action next time.
Okay.
So I didn't, fun. Yeah, I didn't understand last time when he said that we're about to get schooled. I did not assume that we were going to the carpentry
school.
You're
going to the carpentry
academy.
School. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was going to be a little more shop teacher oriented.
Well, that was Hanger not there, Jess?
I mean, yeah, that was the surprise education content, I guess. I assumed we'd be like installing like kindergartner sized urinals or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So that's going to be next time on Tough as Nails. Anything else about episode 7 that we want to highlight while we're here?
No, I mean, you pointed it out, but because they're going to put episodes 9 and 10 together, assumingly, and because, you know, Survivor 44 is on the horizon, but a few weeks away, this was the anti-penultimate week of Tough as Nails season 4. Can't believe it's already almost
here. Yeah, I didn't even know that they were putting 9 and 10 together.
God, anti-penultimate feels like a word that you get in New York Times spelling bee and you feel very proud of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you use it in a sentence?
I might just did.
This week is the anti-penultimate episode of Tough as Nails season 4.
Okay. There you go. All right. Jess, I know this week you, much like Mike Bloom before you, were the subject of the latest Pod Friends conversation.
Yeah, that's right. I did a Pod Friends episode, and I gotta say, Matt Scott is a treasure. Yes. Love talking to that guy. Mm-hmm. I could have talked to him all day. He was really fun. And it's a fun episode. So check that one out. And if you'd rather, you can check out the one. If you're not caught up, go listen to Mike's. Mike's was way better.
No, Jess's. I'm halfway through Jess's right now. And it is really fantastic. And I think your story
you
and a
in
lot of
any order.
Yes, it's like kaleidoscope.
Yes,
it's true.
Mm-hmm.
With half as much bank robbing.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. You haven't listened to the whole episode yet.
No
Mike.
Spoilers.
That's true. I didn't get to the ending. I haven't seen yet.
Yeah.
Yep. And then I've got an appointment to hang out with Mr. Bloom tomorrow. We're going to be talking a little Star Trek Picard, getting ready for the new season, which is dropping very soon. And very excited to get caught up again on what happened last season and figure out where we are in the grand scheme of things. Mm-hmm. And who knows? Like, it looks like we're going to basically clean slate the whole thing. It's going to be
wipe it clean, like Ellery with the tile, and start all over again.
Some strange new worlds.
Well, let me ask you both: how would Tough as Nails go if it was the crew of Star Trek: The Next Generation competing here on Tough as Nails? Like, you know, each person has like their own trade that they are working in.
My money's on Data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Data definitely would have the robotic skills to do it, but maybe less the emotional intelligence. I wouldn't want to be in a team with Data.
Yeah, I don't want him to be my crew boss.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough because, like, this doesn't count as the you know, the chief crew of the Next Generation. But whenever I think of Tough as Nails compared to Star Trek, I always think of Miles O'Brien as like the consummate.
Yeah, maybe it's all people with yellow shirts. So it's like Chief O'Brien and Worf.
Freaking Barkley. Yeah.
Geordi, Barkley. Like people
Barkley
that work
punches
in, like,
out first.
Yeah, people that work in engineering. Like
Tasha Yar.
Yeah,
well, that's what it's got to be, right? Because Tough as Nails is all about like getting your hands dirty. I guess you could bring in some security people there as well. Yeah. Well, right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody in the yellow shirt.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, yeah, I don't think, unfortunately, it's
you know, not unlike Savage Crew, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think poor Deanna Troi, though, I don't think she could hang tiles using her feelings. I think, unfortunately, her skill set is a little.
It's a different show.
I'm sensing that you needed to measure that differently.
Mm-hmm. Laura, I'm sensing you're afraid of heights right now. Let me help you.
Yeah. Okay, well, very much looking forward to hearing you both talk about Picard Season 3. Okay, Mike, what's coming up for you this week besides more talking about the Survivor 44 cast?
Well, I was about to say, screw the ante, screw the pen. We're in the ultimate stage, Rob. We have one more cast assessment to talk about. We're talking Ratu coming up at the end of this week. We're going to be listening to the interviews that I did with the contestants in the preseason for the final six members of the cast. And if you're listening to this, there's a good chance I will have already finished my written articles, if not near the end, with the Tika members. I finished that off as well. So by the end of this week, you will need to know basically everything you need to know about these 18 people to do whatever the heck you want to do with them for the rest of February. But those have been a lot of fun. Rob and I have done a couple so far. They've each been like nearly 3 hours a piece, but they have been very, very fun. This is a really interesting cast. So going to be getting into that. And then over on post-show recaps, we're doing Heroes. I concluded The Legend of Vox Machina. And we got a nice fun turnaround for us Last of Us fans. We're getting two episodes in the course of 5 days because of the big game. They shuffled it back to air on Friday night. And so I'll be covering that with Grace Leader. And then the next day on Saturday, I'll be doing a mid-season feedback show with great friend of RHAP and former Survivor contestant himself, Owen Knight, who has been watching along, is a big fan of The Last of Us. So I'm going to get his thoughts on it, do a bit of a check-in as to like 5 episodes out of 9. How are we feeling about the show so far? Maybe take some questions from people. So got a lot of Last of Us.
5 out of 9 is in.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice number. And that's the number of wins that Savage Crew is going to need if they want to take home that $60,000 as well.
Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, we mentioned the Survivor previews. We had a big show Wednesday night. We had the Survivor Ultimate Trivia Championship taking place between a great Survivor 42 cast members. Marianne Omer and Zach Wurtenberger faced off in the Ultimate Survivor Trivia Showdown hosted by Jordan Kalish. And so we had a lot of fun with that on Wednesday night. I got to join, of course, Mike's often partner in crime, Shannon Gus, to talk about week 2 of Australian Survivor. Not to mention it's Groundhog Week, where all week long I am watching the movie Groundhog Day and then podcasting about it every single day this week. It was day 3 of Groundhog Week today, and Akiva and I got back together to talk about everything that happened back in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, 30 years ago. All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week to talk more Tough as Nails. Have a good one. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.